the main thing that was important for us, that we felt like if we don't go, then in like 10 or 20 years, we will feel sorry. And we thought, even if we go and it doesn't work out the way we think, at least we tried. So I think that was really the main drive for us.
Hello everyone, and welcome to season 2 of Behind the Wheel, where we prepare you for your next campervan adventure. Today we have a very exciting guest on to talk about taking your trip from bucket list to reality. We will post any links to stuff that's referenced in today's episode in the show notes over at gobooney.com/podcast. So yeah, a very warm welcome to Caroline. Thank you for joining us. Could you tell us a bit about yourself? Who are you? Why are you here?
Yeah, definitely. I'm Caroline. I live in the Netherlands, the east of the Netherlands, with my husband and 4 small children. We have a camper, which we took on a very long trip in 2022. Of almost 7 months. And so that was like the dream come true.
Yeah. So a bucket list trip, if you could say so yourself.
Yeah. The dream only becomes stronger and comes back every time. Yeah. And then at some point we thought, okay, we should just go.
Nice. Yeah. Maybe you could already start off by telling us a bit about your trip. What did you do? What was it? Where was it?
Yeah, so we already had a camper before we went on the trip, so we didn't buy it because we were going to travel. It was quite easy to just say, okay, well, then let's go with a camper because it's already there, which also meant that we were just going to stick to Europe because that's the most easy part. We can just drive from the Netherlands anywhere. But we left in winter time, beginning of February. So it was obviously quite cold and bad weather in the Netherlands. So we tried to drive to the south as fast as we could, which is not very fast because the camper is 50 years old. So at best, we go like 80 kilometers per hour. Sometimes it's worse if there's mountains or wind. but we went to Portugal first, and then we went to Spain. Then we took the ferry to Italy, we took the ferry to Albania, and then we drove up basically through Montenegro, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, Slovenia, Germany, and so on.
Okay, and how long was the trip actually? You said 7 months?
Yeah, almost, I think 6.5, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, and you did that with your entire family as well?
Yeah, yeah. That's actually funny because when we told people we were going to make this trip, almost everyone asked instantly to us, what about the kids? but it's not a very common thing people see. So I think that's where the question comes from. But we went with all of us. So when we left, the kids were 1 year old, 5, 7, and 10. Yeah, so we took them out of school and we went on this trip.
Yeah, and can you tell me a bit more about how it is to travel with so many people, especially so many like young kids? I know that it definitely changes the way that you go about your travel experience. So maybe you can give some more insight into that.
Yeah, so for us, it was important that it was not only our dream, like mine and my husband's, but it should be the dream of the whole family. So if they wouldn't have been enthusiastic about this idea, we wouldn't have gone. But I think they were quite, I mean, they are kids, so going on an adventure, that's also the way we brought it. We're going on an adventure. They were happy to join us. But it definitely changes the way you can travel. So the youngest one was with 1.5 years. He didn't really like traveling or driving a long time in the car. So you have to take breaks very often. You have to have a lot of foods to keep them happy, and toys and screens. And but still, we tried to travel while he was sleeping, which took like 1.5, 2 hours. So if we were driving, then yeah, this was the amount of hours usually we drove. And then we really had to take a break. Otherwise, they won't manage and they would start fighting. Or yeah, we had to follow their their needs and their rhythm, because if you don't, it just becomes very unpleasant for everyone. So and the best way is to adjust. So that means slow travel. I think that's the biggest things, slow travel. You cannot do a hike of 10 kilometers instantly. It's you have to, or for us, it was important to, if we wanted to go somewhere, to also consult them. Would you guys like to do this? What would you like to do? So that's also why we started making the bucket list, actually, because they had very strict ideas about stuff they wanted to do during the trip. Like my husband and me had places we want to visit, towns we've heard of, but for them that's kind of meaningless. They don't have a clue about how big the world is or what kind of cities there are. But they did want to visit a cave and a castle and ride on a boat, swim in the sea, more stuff like this. So it's, I think it's quite mindful, actually, the way they are traveling. So it can teach you a lot, traveling with kids. It's also complicated, but it's also, it makes you slow down more. And I think that's a good thing in the end.
Yeah, I guess more like activities based rather than going somewhere because somebody told you it was nice.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe we can scroll back a bit and think about how you actually got to do this trip. Because, yeah, like I said, I think a lot of people, I think everybody has a bucket list trip in mind and everybody has things that they want to do. And it's just very often it stays a dream and it doesn't actually become a reality. So, yeah, what brought you to actually say, like, okay, it's time, let's just do it, pack up the bags, take the kids out of school and go on this trip?
Yeah, I think we had this dream for at least 8 years or something. But we weren't sure what exactly. So it was not like we had this plan in mind that it should be exactly like this. We just knew we wanted to do something, just go away for a while, travel, visit nice places. But we had very small kids by the time. So we were still in the phase of having kids. And we both had a job, which made it hard to actually leave for a longer time than we should have quit the job. And it was a bit scary for us. And yeah, so it stayed with dreaming for a long time, but we did buy the camper so that at least before we are actually doing something, we can go on holidays, weekends, have a bit more the feeling of freedom and travel while we are still in the Netherlands. And I think it's the main thing that was important for us, that we felt like if we don't go, then in like 10 or 20 years, we will feel sorry. We will look back and say, ah, how would it have been if we would have gone on a trip? Or, so we didn't want to feel sorry afterwards about not going. Mm. And we thought, even if we go and it doesn't work out the way we think, it should, then at least we tried. So I think that was really the main drive for us to really make it going. And then there were some practical things holding us back. And then COVID came with all the lockdowns, which actually for us opened doors because we were suddenly homeschooling, which before we never did. So when we would go on a travel, we were like, okay, but what do we do with the school? We have to teach them stuff on the way, but how? And how does this work? So we were a bit scared also from the unknown. And then we were homeschooling suddenly for a long time, and it was not easy, definitely not. But at least now we knew what was coming and how it would work out. So that really made it for us easier to say, okay, this is something we could do. Also with our jobs, so we switched jobs in the years before, but now we started working remotely for a long time, which made it possible to actually go traveling, but still work a bit remotely, which solved our problem of finances during the way with the trip to go for a longer time. So yeah, it opened doors for us to the practical stuff that was in our way suddenly kind of vanished, and we saw all kinds of possibilities open up. Together with the drive of we don't want to feel sorry and the kids are getting older, so we should really start doing this. And then I read a book about the Zepp family. I don't know if you know them.
No.
It's an Argentinian family that started traveling in the year 2000 already with a very old car, a Graham Page of 1928 with wooden wheels. And they wanted to drive from Argentina to Alaska. So they started doing this and they wanted to do this in 6 months. I think it took them like 2.5 years in the end. And it's a very inspirational book. So I can really recommend it because obviously it's a very old car. So they had a lot of problems on the way. I think already within an hour of leaving, they had the first breakdown with the car. But every time this happens, it brought them something good. So they had to make a detour. They had to stay somewhere longer. But every time they met very nice people, they got help from a very unexpected angle, or they came at places where they wouldn't have come if they wouldn't have had the problems with the car. So it really brought them a lot. And this was the point that I was reading this and I told my husband. So that's for us, it made the option open to actually go with our own camper, because we thought, okay, if they can do this with their 1928 car, then ours is almost 50 years younger, even though it's still a very old camper from 1970. But then maybe we can also go with our camper. So we already have something and we can just go. So this was very, eye-opening, I think, for us. Also because of our mindset changed, because before we were a bit scared of getting a breakdown with the car, especially with kids and being abroad. And now we were like, okay, maybe it will break down, but it's not the end of the trip then. We can just solve it. There are always options. There are always people wanting to help you. So the book really helped us to shift our mindset with this situation. And so then we were like, okay, we know the work. The work is now not a problem anymore. The homeschooling is okay. And we already have a camper that we can take. So suddenly everything, just came together. And we were like, we should just go right now, the quickest moment we can. We should just leave and make the dream come true.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like it's never the right time. And there's always excuses that you can come up with to not do it. But I think later on you would regret not doing something that you've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And in line with that, what would you say to people who are really like on the verge of making that step? What would you say to motivate them to finally just go for it? Think about, like, ignore all of the potential risks and everything, and just go for it.
I think what's actually the hardest part is making the first step. As soon as you've made the first step, everything else just follows. So we've been talking about this a lot, but if you talk about it, you're in your safe zone together. No one else knows it, so it feels very safe. We can just not go through with this if we're not feeling okay. But as soon as you start saying it out loud to someone, or for us, it meant that we started to book a meeting with our bosses to drop the idea and say, hey, we want to go for a longer time. What are the options? Can we come to a solution? That first step was very hard, to actually mail my boss and say, hey, I want a meeting. There's something I need to discuss. But after this meeting, it was really like the hardest part was behind us, and we could just roll on, and it was all practical stuff we had to arrange. But making the first step is the most difficult one.
I guess when it's a dream, it all seems so unattainable, but then the moment you start actually progressing towards the reality, you're like, oh, this is actually could happen. Can you actually tell us a bit more about, like, the surprises you had along the way, or even some of your, like, favorite or least favorite memories, just because it is realistically quite a tricky trip to do, but probably worth it. But
I think so our mindset was now with the camper that, okay, probably we're going to have some problems with the car, but we can manage them. I think in the end, looking back, it took us more work than we thought to keep the car driving. It was definitely like that was my husband. Dawa is very he knows the car very well now. He's not a mechanic or something, but he learned along the way in all the years that we had the camper. So most of the things he can fix himself by now. But then he would have fixed something, and then we started driving again. And then the next day we were in the car, and we hear this sound, and then we look to each other. Oh my God, what's this sound coming from? It always starts with a sound, like a rattling sound or something that's loose. And so it was almost all the times if we just fix something, and then the next day something else broke down. So it was a lot of work to keep the car running. There were three moments that we actually couldn't drive on, that it really was broken. It took us some days to make it going again. And the hardest one was in Italy, when we had a couple of hard days already. So we were very tired. The weather was bad. It was raining and cold, even though it was May already. And then the car broke down. So the part that was broken was not available in Italy. So we couldn't get it anywhere close. So it had to be sent to us from the Netherlands. But also the people from the garage did not speak any English. We didn't speak Italian. So it was a very hard day. It took us the whole day to get the problem clear, to know that we couldn't find the part somewhere close. We really had to let it send. Okay, but where do we send it to? What do we do with the camper in the meantime? Because we cannot stay here, but it's not driving. So it was a lot of problems to solve, and we were just exhausted. We cried big time in the evening. It was 10 in the evening, and we didn't find a solution yet after a whole day of trying to solve the problem. And we were like, okay, let's just go to sleep and see the next morning. And then in the next morning, within an hour, everything just came together and it was solved. Like, they towed us to a next camping that turned out to be very nice camping, actually. We didn't know in the beginning, because it was a camping that we would have never chosen to go to. But in the end, it was a very nice camping. And we've just been there standing still for 2 weeks. I think it's the longest that we've been in one place in the whole trip, 2 weeks. And we had to wait for the parts to arrive. And it was like a present in our trip. So at first it was the hardest day of the whole trip. I still look back and feel how bad we felt, and like we thought that this is not going to work out. And then in the end, it turned out to be our biggest present, to actually stand still in one place for 2 weeks and rest and have time together. And so even that's the worst moment of the whole trip turned out to be okay and a good one, actually. So
a blessing in disguise.
And
I mean, what would you say was a lesson that you take back from maybe that moment, or just generally things that now in hindsight you could have prepared better or done differently, or this or that, if any?
I've actually never thought about it in this way, that could we have done anything differently or better? And now I'm thinking about it, I think, no, we couldn't. I don't think we could have done anything differently to make it better. It's really mindset. It really teaches us to trust the process, that even if it's a hard page in the story, it's just one page and there's something coming after. So trust the process that it will be okay. So we are way more relaxed, and that really saves a lot of energy. And I think that's the best lesson we learned, to just go with the flow and trust what's happening.
Yeah, nice. I mean, I guess all of these surprises are also part of the journey and what makes it like so special as well.
Yeah, because every time that it went wrong, like the Zepp family story, we really found out it was true, because we've met so many terrific people helping us out in these moments. And some of them have really become our friends, and we still have contact now. So, that's really something special, I think, that to meet people in a way like this, and everyone wants to help all over the world. There's just
it restores a little bit of faith in humanity, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And yeah, how were actually the dynamics then with your kids? Because they were being homeschooled, right? And then you were teaching. And how did you balance this kind of work lifestyle while also traveling and and dealing with breakdowns and everything?
Well, you know, most of this part, like the breakdowns and the hard parts with the kids when they're fighting or having a bad day, they also happen at home. Mm. So yeah, we are used to having these dynamics in the family. So it was just part of the deal. And I think because we were outside so much, it was better than staying at home, because they were just playing outside a lot, exploring. We could follow a lot more our needs, our own needs. Like if you go to school and you're tired, you still have to wait till the school ends before you can go home and rest. And then you are overtired. So they come home and they fight. But now they could just really follow their own body signs and do I need a rest now, or do I need some time alone, or stuff like this. So in some cases it was easier. The homeschooling part was not easy because the kids obviously were not very happy about this part. And I must say that in the end we let it go a bit. So we got all this stuff from school to bring along, but it was not easy to make them actually concentrate for a long time and do the work. But they've learned so much just from the traveling. So we visited many musea over the whole of Southern Europe with the most different kind of subjects, like science, but also a mummy museum or a mining museum, but also about the war in Albania and Bosnia. So they've learned so much. And you're in the Netherlands, so we don't have mountains. So actually visiting mountains and seeing a lot of waterfalls, what happens, different kind of climates, the sea, caves, what happens in caves, how do the caves come here? So we really learned just from life. So they, that our oldest daughter now speaks almost fluently English, because just we met people on the way that she wanted to talk to, but then she had to speak English, so she just started to try and teach herself, and now she speaks English. So the homeschooling part we let go a bit, but the teaching, the learning part, it was one big learning trip, I think, for them.
It's interesting to see how you can, like, the differences between like practical learning and then all this theoretical stuff we do in school. Because you're also saying that you feel like this trip has also affected how you deal with things now on the day-to-day. And I also wonder how you as a family and your kids look back on the trip. Like, I feel like you must have learned a lot, and maybe it was a bit of a life-changing experience.
Yeah, it was even a bigger life-changing experience than we thought on front. So when we came back, we were completely overwhelmed with the amount of the amount of noises, the amount of people, how busy everything is. I mean, the Netherlands is also full, so there's not really a quiet place somewhere. Also everything that we had to arrange, it's such a full life, not in the good sense of the word. So we were really overwhelmed when we came back, which also made us think about how we arrange our life, that we really want to, I think really less is more. We've met so many people on the way that actually followed their dream, started traveling full time sometimes, also families, or they just bought a piece of land, and all of them had quite a hard lifetime. They didn't have much stuff. They usually had to do a lot of off-grid living, is also hard working. Because taking all your daily basis needs takes more time, like electricity, water. People had a hard lifestyle, but everyone was happy. So they had less, according to how modern society views life. They have a lot less than most people, but they also had a lot more because they were way more relaxed. They were more in touch with each other as families. They were, yeah, they had time. They had time to do what they love to do. And I think we really learned that less is more. So we try to do less now all the time in our life. We also found that freedom is very important for us. So in every way, so we're trying to make sure we have more freedom in our agendas, but also more freedom in our work schedule, in choosing where to go, what to do, who to see. Yeah, and also having less stuff gives you freedom because you have to spend less time making sure your house is okay. Yeah, so I think we really try to do less. That's a big lesson, and it changed us as a person a lot, because we don't really actually feel like we fit in society very well anymore. And it was only a 6-month trip, but we really feel that it doesn't fit. So yeah, there's definitely plans coming up for the future. That's stuff we want to change, but we're not sure yet how or what or when. But yeah, it changed us so much that we cannot do anything then also, yeah, follow this change and start changing our life big time. So
yeah, so do you actually already have another trip planned, or any dreams forming for a future bucket list trip? And have you already thought of new things that you want to do?
I think the biggest problem is that we have many dreams now that we want to do. And also now we know that all of it is actually possible. So we can just choose what we want to do and start doing this. And now we cannot choose what to do, where to go. So we are going to make a small trip this summer for 6 weeks to Scandinavia, Sweden, Denmark, and maybe Norway. But that's just more like a holiday trip. We have many ideas. We want to go maybe to South America and travel there, or to Africa and travel there, or just do again some bigger travel in Europe, because we haven't seen even half of it. So we might also just go somewhere with other people and start just buy a piece of land and build something there. That's also an option. So we have many ideas, and we're not sure yet what we want to do, but we are preparing already our life in that if we know that it's easier to go. So we're trying to be more financially self-sufficient to make sure that we have the finances to go, but also we are already getting rid of stuff, which also helps us now. But it is also, if we want to go again, then we would definitely go for a longer time, at least 1 year. We're thinking about a different camper, because we do love our camper a lot, but it's a bit small, especially now the kids are getting bigger. So if we want to go again and for at least a year, we probably need something different. But what? There are so many options there. So so it's just brainstorming at the moment, and many options, and we have enough dreams.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how it really changes your mindset from constantly dreaming and not doing much to do it, to changing your lifestyle to make it as easy as possible to actually do these bucket list trips. Yeah. Nice. Well, very, very, very inspirational for sure. So we do actually have one recurring question that we ask all of our podcastees, so to say. And it is, what is your beginner's mistake? What is a beginner's mistake that you made? Or what is a tip that you have for beginners starting off on a bucket list trip or camper van trip?
That's a very good question.
You can take a moment to think about it.
I can already think of many things that we would do different in the next time. But I think the biggest mistake is that if you are coming from modern society, you live in a high pace. You want to do everything. You have a very full agenda. So when we started our trip, we also wanted to see everything. I had this whole map of Europe with Google Maps, with all the highlights that I've saved. And I wanted to see them all. I wanted to visit them all, which turned out already very quickly that it was completely impossible. But I had a hard time adjusting to let go of some places to visit and just enjoy what is there. And I think our biggest, it took us the most time to actually slow down, to learn how to slow down. And I think that we could have slowed down even way more than we have actually done. So we still wanted to see a lot. I mean, because going to Portugal, Spain, Italy, and the whole Balkan area, it's still a lot. We could have also just done the Balkan area in half a year. It would have been plenty. We still wouldn't have seen everything. So I think the biggest for us, the biggest lesson, and which I want to really give to people that are making their dream come true, just slow down. Don't plan too much. Don't have too many options that you want to go. Just go with the flow, slow down. There is really beauty in slowing down, in going slowly and just staying longer in one place, and really having the time to explore a smaller area instead of seeing a bit from everything. So
nice.
Again, less is more.
I guess that's the gist of this, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. I think I've actually gone through all of my questions. I don't know if you have something else that you want to add, some more advice or anecdotes about your trip.
I think there's one thing that that I still want to say, that I think in the end, so a lot of it was practical, a lot of it was hard. We really cried on different moments in time. But as you said before, it was worth it. And I think for us, one of the biggest things that made it worth it were the people you meet on the way. Of everything, of the whole trip, of course, we visited beautiful places and we saw beautiful, we did some beautiful hikes or beautiful waterfalls. But the best thing of the whole trip were the people we met on the way. We've been traveling together even with some families for a while, and we've met the best local people, and everyone wanted to help, and we had so many good good talks with people, and it was really amazing hearing everyone's story, everyone's dreams, just sharing your trip with other people. The people really made the trip, best part of the whole trip.
Nice. Yeah, I can believe that. Nice. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing. I am very inspired. I also have a big camper trip plan next year. So now I was actually mapping out every single stop on Google Maps. And now I'm like, maybe I should delete some of those stops and just enjoy it.
I think that's really the best option. Yeah. So for this trip in the summer that we are doing, I have nothing highlighted. We have nothing planned. We're just going to drive and we're going to see how far we get and where we go. It's really it's really a more relaxed way of traveling, I must say.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, I think that about wraps up the interview. If you want to know more about this, we have included links to some great articles in the description, including a super extensive guide with all the practical tips for your first motorhome trip. And if you don't already, please follow the show. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's @GoBuni. And thank you a lot to Caroline. I think you've definitely inspired me for sure to kind of go ahead with my trip. And I'm very excited about it for sure. And if you want to check out Caroline's old school camper van, you can follow on Instagram at @InBusvolAventure, I think it was.
Yeah, InBusvolAventure.
That's what it is. I'll put it in the description. Thanks a lot for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Thanks. And that's about wraps it up. So I will see you all next time.